Nobody's worthy of God to come down like that, but he did. When he shows up, we ought to be able to tell him, thank you for showing up. We ought to be able to let him know we appreciate that, God. We appreciate you showing up in my mess and my struggle in my life, God, and showing me that there's hope, that there's glory, that there's still power in the church, in the name. There's still power in his spirit. Lord, in Jesus' name, God bless you. Why don't you give the Lord a hand? You can be seated. We serve a good God. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. This is my kind of church. Pastor Brownie, this is my kind of church. Can everybody understand me? I know I got the accent's a little different. It's a little off, maybe not what you're used to. But it's mine. I can't do nothing about it. So no matter what accent you speak with, God is still God. Amen. If you weren't here this morning for Pastor Brownie's teaching, and you could have been, shame on you. I've been in church for 20 something years of my life, going on 30 years of my life, and I heard stuff this morning I never heard before. Everything I heard was true, Brother Brownie, Pastor Brownie. Great, great teaching, great preaching in the Lord. I need to do something before I get started, and I know time, and I'm going to do the best I can to hurry through and allow you to go on. Thank you. Allow you to get on. But before I do, let me do this. I've got to give honor to my wife in her absence. I've got a beautiful wife. Amen. Wherever Sister Stephanie ran off to, I've got a daughter that's just younger than Sister Stephanie, 23 years old, 20-year-old son. They couldn't make it. They were going to try, but couldn't make it due to work. Brother, they're educators. My wife is currently studying, going back to school for her master's online. I've been an educator since we've been married. My daughter is going back to school now to become an educator. So it's in our blood. It's in our family. We honor you guys, what y'all do for our children. Amen. Also, need to take a moment and honor Pastor and Sister Brownie. What an amazing place. What an amazing place this is. Pastor Brownie, this is going to make a great satellite church one day. Whenever you fill this one up and you have to move to a bigger building, expand, this is going to be a great satellite church. Amen? Believe it or not, it don't matter. What a great church. What a great spirit in this house. I need to give honor today to my pastor, Bishop White Silsby. Honor him for all he's done, invested in me. And honor you. God bless you for being here today. Beautiful outside, probably 1,000 things you could do, but you come to the house of the Lord. And I would be remiss if I didn't honor Stephanie and Ja'Cory. Folks, there's power when you do things right. There's power when you do things the right way. Amen. If you obey God's word. Without any further rambling from me, let me go on. Just say this, Pastor Brownie. As of Sunday, the Lord led me to step down from pastoring the church, led me on a different course, told me for a season of my life I'm going to just to evangelize, to preach. Wherever opportunity presents itself. So for a season of my life, I believe that God will call me into a pastorate again. But I believe for a season, he's led me in this direction. And I'm honored. This will be the first church that I've preached in officially as an evangelist. Y'all clapping like that's a good thing. Y'all ain't even heard me preach yet. No, I do appreciate you. If you want to stand, however your custom is here, let me just say this as you're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17. I'm intimidated, not only because I heard Pastor Brownie teaching this morning. Blew my mind. I got a notebook full of notes. Thank you, by the way. But then to hear that Brother Booker was here last week, I'm like, Lord, what are you doing to me? But God's good. I am, I had been conflicted in my spirit. God gave me a message to preach as soon as Pastor Brownie had asked me, and I was conflicted. Man, I could have easily come up here and preached about shouting and dancing, and we could have just had a great time in the Lord. And perhaps, I'm not saying that won't happen, but the things that were confirmed in the teaching this morning let me know that I was right where God wanted me to be. And so if we shout on the devil a little bit today, that'll be fine with me. I know one thing, we're going to do that. Amen. We're going to do that. He's not going to have a good day today. Amen. He might have a good day down the road, but he's not going to have a good day in here. I started to say something else. I don't know. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Verse number 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Jesus, God, I pray today for a passing away of the old. God, I pray today that the old things die, Jesus. God, that the old things are done away with, God, that they're passed away. God, I pray today that the old things fall off of someone's spirit. God, that the old things fall off of somebody's life. God, I pray for new things today, Jesus. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You may be seated. It is my intention today to minister for your consideration, for your thoughts, why the church and the dry cleaners are alike. Why the church and the dry cleaners are alike. I pulled up in a little town by us. Listen, I pastored in a place called Spurger. It had 582 people in this. Y'all got more people on this block than we had in the whole city limits of the place. But I know one thing. People are people. It don't matter where you come from. And we're people, and God is God. Amen. People filled with the Holy Ghost. People danced, shouted, had good worship just like this. It does not matter where you come from, or just matters where you're going in the Lord. But in this little town, I pulled up to a dry cleaner's one day, and I seen a sign in the window, and it struck me. It hit me like a ton of bricks. Why the church and the dry cleaners are a lot alike. I seen that sign, and I thought to myself, man, that really reminds me of the church. Now, I know immediately your mind goes thinking a certain direction, but no, it's not the whole cleaning thing. It had nothing to do with the cleaning sign that was on the church. First off, you've got to understand that the church really is not the entity that cleans you anyway. The church is not the one that gets you clean. That's between you and God. The church can help you. The church can help you dry up. The church can get you over things in your life. The church can help you shape your life up. It can change your attitudes and your situations. The church, we need the church. The church can help you shape your life up. If your life's been a mess, come to the church. The church can help you. You can get with people in the church. They can show you how to live. They can teach you how to live. You can hear word like you heard this morning. The church can give and add to your life, but the church can't clean you up. It's not Pastor Brownie's job to go to your house and clean you up, to bathe you, to dress you, to get you right. That's between you and God. You've got to come before God with an honest heart. Say, speak. What do you want from me, God? What do you want me to do? See, it's between you and God how clean you decide to live your life. The cleaning is between you and God, and that's never going to change no matter how great this church is. And if it were, in fact, that, you've got to understand God doesn't dry clean anyway. If it was the church's job to clean you, God don't dry clean anyway. I still read the word of God where it says, he that believeth and is baptized in Jesus' name shall be saved. God doesn't dry clean. He still uses water. When God goes to clean you up, it ain't going to be a dry. There are going to be tears that are shed when your eyes. When God starts dealing with you and messing with your life, there's going to be tears that are going to shine, are going to fall from your eyes. There's going to be things that happen in your life that there's going to be an interaction. God does not do dry cleaning, even if that were the case. Amen. Somebody say amen. If you've been baptized in Jesus' name, say amen. Watch this. The word of God says this: verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You must be baptized in a watery grave for the remission of your sins. Amen. The Bible tells us that we must be baptized calling on that name if we want to experience true biblical salvation. Amen. Dry cleaning, we use dry cleaning, take our suits to the cleaners to be dry cleaned, because dry cleaning doesn't alter your clothes and it doesn't shrink them, it doesn't change anything. But if you're looking for change in your life, it's going to take more than a dry cleaner. If you want real change in your life, it's going to take going down and being baptized, calling on the name of Jesus. Amen. If you really want something different in your world, you're going to have to get to that place where you experience true repentance before God. But you must be, if I say anything wrong, Pastor Brownie will clear it up later. If you want change in your life, you must be baptized calling on Jesus' name. Another sign I saw, there in the window said credit cards accepted. But that's not what made me think of the church either. Amen. See, I still believe that everything belongs to God, and we're simply the recipients of all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. I understand that according to His word, we return to God what He has already given to us by way of our tithes and our offerings. But that's not credit. That's not some credit card we use to give to God. We don't give on credit for a blessing. Well, God, I'll give this, but in return I'm going to be looking for that. No, that's bartering for God with God. That's trying to change God. We do that through prayer if we want to change God. You can't buy God. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. You don't have enough money to move God from where He is. His position is forever settled in heaven. His word has been written. His word has been spoken. His word has been shared. And if you possessed all the money in Fort Knox, you could not give enough money to move God from where He is. He simply pours out on us in obedience to His word. We are faithful in our giving to God and faithful in our support of the church and the purpose of the church. Bible tells us that all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto God. It already belongs to Him. What we do is, when we pour out to the Lord, when we give to God, we open ourselves up for God to pour more into us. God's not looking for reservoirs. God is looking for channels through which He can flow. God wants to flow. God wants to flow in this place today. You don't have to pay God for this. You don't have to pay God to feel what you feel in this place. You don't have to give God a certain amount of money. No monthly dues are required in the church of God to be here. All you've got to do is show up and have a hungry heart, because God has already paid the price for your salvation. God has paid the price for your change. God has paid the price for your life to be forever changed in His life. Scripture says, which He hath purchased with His own blood. We've already received the credit from God. When He hung on a tree on Golgotha's hill, God paid the debt of every sin you've ever committed, of every wrong you've ever done. God's already took it upon Himself, and He hung it upon that cross. It's done. It's over with. The devil can't challenge you anymore. The devil can't hold it up to you anymore. The devil can't hold it against you anymore. God has already paid the price. So no, the credit's already been given from Him to us by way of Calvary. So no, it's not credit cards accepted here. The dry cleaners also had a sign up with their hours of operation, but that also was not what made me think of the church either. Because really, we don't have to wait for any certain hours of operation to call on a true church. Amen. The church is the church 24/7, 360. 365 days a year. This is a beautiful facility. I'm praying in Jesus' name that the carpet is done right away. This is a beautiful place to worship God in. The acoustics, the spirit, all of it is great, but this is not the church. What the church is those of you that sit in this pew. You are the body of Christ, and when you have a need, there is a brother or a sister that you can get a hold of, you can call, you can pray with, you can find somebody that will invest in your world, that will speak into your life, that are willing to share what God has done for them, what God can do for you. So no, there's really no certain hours. We may meet on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock, 12:15, whatever the case may be, but the church is always there for you. Somebody needs to know that the church is always there for you. There's somebody praying for you. There's somebody fasting for you. There's somebody believing in you. There's somebody trusting in you. The church is the greatest gift that He has ever given or left on this life for His people. We love the church. The church is not the building, it's the body, and the body cares for one another. Scripture teaches that it's the whole body that makes up the church. One can't say that you don't have need of another. If you're in the church, you're part of the church, you belong to the church, and the church is going to be there for you. Now, the sign I saw said, "Welcome." Now, that kind of got me thinking, yeah, that's a lot like the church. When you're in a real church, everyone is welcome in a real church. When you get the church of the living God, everybody's welcome. It doesn't matter. Pastor, I don't want to get out of order. If I do, just give me a little sign or something. But I can look around here and feel relatively certain when I tell you. It doesn't matter what color you are when you come to a real church. You can be black, you can be white, you can be Asian, you can be Spanish. But when you come to the church that God died for, you are welcome in the house of God. It doesn't matter how much money you got. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your background is. When you come to the house of God, you are welcome in this place. Don't have to be a certain height to have a certain amount of money. You just got to show up and you're welcome in the house of God. Scripture says, "For there is no respect of persons with God." Hear me when I tell you today, you'll never be good enough to deserve the church. You'll never do good enough in your life to be worthy of what God's given in the church. You'll never be better than anybody. Scripture says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It is the gift of the church that's going to help us make our way through here. But then that sign that said "Welcome" also said, "No shirt, no shoes, no service." That ain't like the church at all. Take it easy on that now. We do appreciate decorum. We do appreciate modesty in the church. But the fact of the matter is, Pastor Brownie, I don't believe for a second you'd kick somebody out if they walked through those doors with the... If they came through the doors dressed less than appropriately, I think you'd just love them anyway. I think the church would just bring them on in and begin to teach, and God would take care of the rest. Come in barefooted, that's all right. God's still going to love you. Come in dressed less than in a suit, that's okay. God's still going to love. Hey, I believe in giving God my very best, and that includes the way I dress. I believe in covering up what God said ought to be covered up, but when the sinner comes into the house of God, they don't have to come in just, hey, you'll never get good enough to come to God anyway. Might as well just come on how you are. The Bible tells us, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man's going to see the Lord." The true church still believes in modesty and still believes in holiness. Amen. While we do appreciate modesty and decorum from our guests, it's not a requirement for service in the true church. When you walk into a Holy Ghost-filled apostolic church, it doesn't matter what spirit you bring in with you. It doesn't matter what spirit is perched upon your shoulder, whispering in your ear. When you come into an apostolic church and you feel what we felt here this afternoon and this morning, you know that God has shed His blood for you. We want you to come into the church. Come on into the church. The church has always had, every church I've ever been to has always had a come as you are mentality. It's okay. You can't get good enough to come to God. I don't understand that mentality that says I want to live for God, but when I quit doing this, then I'll come to God. When I stop sinning, then I'll come to God. When I can clean myself up, then no, you can't get good enough. You can't stop sinning on. You need the church to live above sin. You need God. Don't wait to come to God. Come on to God. It's always been come as you are. And while there are certainly other signs that I saw there that day that I could discuss, time would tell me that I need to get to the sign that screamed to me why the church and the dry cleaners are alike. And hear me when I tell you today, Rehoboth, if you ever really want to live for God, you're going to have to give heed to this sign that God showed me. The last sign that I saw that I want to talk about here today was a sign that said alterations done here. I seen that sign and I thought, my God, that's just like the church I go to. Alterations are done in the church. Things that are wrong can be made right in the church. Things that are messed up can be made right in the church. While the church has always had and will always maintain a come as you are mentality, the church has never held to a leave like you came mentality. When you come to God, you must expect that God is going to change your life for the better. God is going to move in your world. God is going to take you from what you are to what He wants you to be. You might have to wait a little bit. You might have to give it some time, but if you can trust God and believe God, He's going to bring you to where you need to be. I don't know how it is here down home. A lot of the dry cleaners have done away with alterations at their locations. They say it's too timely, too cost demanding on the cost and the resources of the business. It's too costly to do alterations. I must confess to you today that sadly some churches and even Holy Ghost filled churches have also adopted this same philosophy. They've done away with alterations in their church. It's too hard. It's too timely. It's too hard to try to change people. It's easier just to preach any message and allow the church and allow the people to just become whatever they want to be and live however they want to live. If I get out of line, Pastor Brown, he's going to straighten it out. You may never have me here again, but God told me there's somebody in the house today that needs an alteration in your world. I know by what I feel here that this is not a church that has done away with that. You don't come here and plant a church like this and not knowing that God is going to change some lives for the better. Jesus has always taught the church the importance of change. That's why our opening scripture said what it said. Behold, all things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. God's looking to take the old out of your life, and He's looking to put something new in your world. Folks, I'm not just preaching to visitors or any particular people. I'm preaching to the church. I've been living for God for nearly 30 years now, and I still need Him to change me. I'm not all that He wants me to be. I'm in a season of transition right now, and I need God in my world to change me. Make me what? If you believe it, would you raise your hands? Tell Him, make me what I need to be. Come on, if you're not sincere, don't do it, because He's going to hear you today. He's going to listen to your prayers. But if you're sincere and you want more of God, let Him know, change me, God. Move in my world. Make me what you want me to be. Listen to me today, church. I got to hurry on, but to really be profitable to the kingdom of God is going to require change in us. Our nature must become like His nature. Our will must become like His will. Scripture tells us, for there is now therefore no condemnation to those that walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Somewhere, if you want real change in your life, you got to come to a place where you say, no more walking after the lust of the flesh, but I'm going to seek after the desires of God in my world. I want to shout. I want to dance. I want to run around the church. I want to pray. I want to see God bless. But I understand if we don't have change in our world, then we can dance every Sunday and we can go right back to what God does not want us to be. If we're ever going to bless the church, if you're ever going to be a part of the church, if you're ever going to move and make a difference in your church, it's going to happen when you allow God to change you. Don't look around you and say, my God, if so-and-so would get right, my God, if so-and-so would just do this. We got to look at ourselves and say, God, what can I do to help them? What can I give to help? Where do I fit in their living for God? What can I do? Hear me today. I gotta go. I had a friend was praying one time. Got him in the church full of the Holy Ghost. And he was praying. And his wife, he was going through divorce. And he asked me, he said, Doug, tell me, why don't God just answer my prayers? Anybody ever felt that way? Why don't God just answer my prayers and do what I need Him to do? But hear me when I tell you, every time you pray, God hears you. Every time you pray, God answers. Every time you pray, God moves. But the key is not, does God hear me? Does God move? Does God work? The key is, do I make room for what I'm praying for in my own world? If I'm asking God to give me something, have I made room for it in my own world? Or does God just pour it out because we ask amiss, because we don't ask it according to His will? Do we make His will our will? Do we say, God, I must decrease so that You can increase? God, I must let down so that You can have the glory. When we do that, when we get our lives like that, you have no idea what God can pour out into your world. You have no idea what God can do in your world. You have no idea who you can touch. You have no idea who you can affect. You don't know when you give God the preeminence in your life. You walk down the street and people look at you. You go to work and people wonder. You talk to your neighbors and they say, what is different about you? Society, all the things going on in our world doesn't matter when God is the preeminence in our life. I gotta go, but hear me. Everything the world tells us, it doesn't matter when God's the most important. And you've moved enough of you out of the way that God can begin to pour into you. You want to profit your church. You want to be a part of the church. You got to hear the message God has sent this Texan with today. Hear me when I tell you, God will send prayers. God will answer prayers. But He cannot do it when it's the same old lifestyle. Is going to precipitate the same need again and again and again. And every time we pray, God tries to do something and we go right back to the old things that caused that need in the first place. If you really want God to move in your world, then you're going to have to allow God to do some alterations to your world. Maybe that old uniform you used to wear doesn't fit what God wants to do in your world anymore. And you got to say, alter me, God, to be like Your will. Sometimes the answer can only come in the form of change in our lives. These singers want to come. If the praise music ever, Pastor Brownie, ever, how you guys do it. I'm trying to get to a close here.
Sometimes the answer can only come in the form of changing your life. What does the dry cleaners and the church have in common? Not one thing in this world, but there was that sign that said alterations done here. You've been praying. You've been seeking, you've been looking, you've been talking to God, you've been telling him the needs in your world, you've been praying for your babies and your grandbabies, you've been praying for your neighbors, you've been praying for your friends, you've been praying for the church, you've been praying for souls to come into the church. Oh, but hear me today when I tell you, God's saying, I want to bless your church, I want to bless your life, but you've got to allow me to make some alterations. Oh, would you raise your hands for just a moment? I got a little bit more, but could we raise our hands? Hear me today. God wants to, he's got something for you. God wants to bless your world today. I feel the Holy Ghost. He wants to put something into your world. I see in my mind, as it was, a picture that God holds over this church. And he's trying to pour in. He's trying to pour in, but there's some closed vessels in this place. You've got the vessel closed, and it's the water's just hitting. And it's splattering all over. And it's running because none of it can get in because there's been no alterations. Hey, Talibo. Let me go, let me go, let me go. God's going to feel somebody today. God's going to feel somebody today. Singers are in place. Let me just tell you this. We're done. God's ready to pour out. The church, thank you, Pastor. The church was given a choice. They brought Jesus. Before all the different folks he went through, before Pontius Pilate and all of those. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm kind of intimidated because of your knowledge, but it was Pontius Pilate that gave him the option. You know what I'll do? I got Barabbas.
You're right.
I got Barabbas in the, I don't want to kill Jesus, but I know what I'll do. I'm going to give him a choice today. I'm going to let them choose that murdering, no good fiend Barabbas to put to death, or they can choose Jesus to put to death. I don't want this to squeal, but I got to get down here. So he brought them both out, if you'd give me that leeway, and he stood them up and he presented to them. He said, I give you today Barabbas. At your word, we'll put Barabbas to death and we'll let Jesus go free. Or at your word, we'll crucify Jesus and we'll allow the murderer Barabbas to go free. And all those same people, Pastor, that was just crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, when they seen Jesus coming, was that same people that began to cry out, give us Barabbas. Crucify him, give us Barabbas. Brother Chapman, what's the significance of that? Pastor, I found the answer in the name. I found the answer in the name. You've got to understand Barabbas is made up of two key parts, Bar and Abbas. Bar means son of. Abbas means father, whereby we cry Abba, Father. But a more literal translation would be son of, not father, but son of the flesh. They were given a choice. You can have the Spirit sent from heaven, or if you so choose, you could choose flesh, and we'll crucify the Spirit. Or you can choose the Spirit, but you're going to have to crucify the flesh. Wonder if you could stand with me in the house of the Lord today. Every one of us under the sound of my voice today. Milwaukee doesn't need another flesh-driven church. Milwaukee doesn't need another church that preaches that. Can't just say it. He doesn't need another church that preaches false prosperity. doesn't need another name it and claim it, blab it and grab it church. He needs a church that's come before the Master, the King of Kings, and said, I'm undone and I need to be altered in your presence. Right here today, there's sincere hearted people that you may not be where you need to be in God, but you're sincere hearted. You want to do the right things for God. God has sent you an answer today, and the choice is yours to make. Will you choose Jesus? Or will you choose Barabbas? Will you choose the Spirit? Again, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk after the Spirit and not after the truth. There's certain things that the devil keeps telling you that you can't do it. The devil's telling you that you can't make it. He's telling you that you've been too bad. You hadn't done the right things. You hadn't been where you needed to be. You messed up too many times. And God can't use somebody like that. God can't use somebody like me. Pastor Brownie, I want to help you, but you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done in my life. If you knew what I had done, Pastor Brownie, you wouldn't even let me in the building, much less let me pray with people or let me be used of God. The devil is a liar, and he's the father of lies. If he's telling you something, then you know it's not the truth. You know it's a lie from hell. If he tells you you can't be used, you ought to rejoice because you know that God can use you. But there's a choice in this place right now. I'm sorry, I can't stay with you forever. I feel your spirit, but I can't stay with you forever. But I'm telling you, the devil has lied to you. The devil has held you. The devil has restricted you. God has wanted to elevate you to certain places, but you would never let yourself go to those places by the guilt and the condemnation of your yesterdays. God said, today, all things are passed away. Today, all things are gonna become new. It's when we choose what we're gonna do today. Yeah, come on, somebody get in the spirit. What are we gonna do? We're gonna crucify Jesus again. Oh, are we going to crucify the flesh today? These altars are open, Pastor Brownie. Can I give an altar call? These altars are open. Come on, somebody.